Welcome back to the Sundance special of This Green Earth, where we spend 2 hours every Sundance here at Whole Foods for their 5% day, where the Whole Foods donates 5% of their today's proceeds to KPCW. We thank them for that. And we, Nell and I, get the chance to speak to directors and producers and other talent associated with Sundance Film Festival. We've been doing this for 5 years. And this year is just as good, if not better, than the others. And this next film, this next story is really fascinating. It's a documentary called Marmato. Mark Greco?
Greco.
You know, you just told me
come
like
on, Chris.
45 seconds ago. And right there. Mark
okay.
Greco, the director.
And Mark is the director of the film Marmato. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So outline the film for our listeners.
So this is a historic mining town in Colombia. It's been there for about 500 years. The Spanish found the indigenous mining the gold basically off surface. And so now they've been mining in kind of a traditional small-scale way for hundreds of years. But just starting in about 2006, a Canadian mining company arrived and started buying up mines. And their plan was basically to move the town. The town is basically built on this mountain where they're tunneling into the mountain for the gold. And remove the people, build them a new town, and level the mountain.
No big deal.
But like you say, traditionally, they had been mining gold in more of a sustainable, we'll maybe call it, for lack of another, more of a sustainable way. The mining techniques were probably a little more primitive. Less technologically based, you might say?
You could call it artisanal.
Artisanal.
Or traditional. I think that when we use the word sustainable with a natural resource, it's kind of
that's why I say it with some...
Right.
But it was done in a way that was supporting the village, supported the town, without damaging the town, per se.
Right. They have been mining this way for hundreds and hundreds of years, and with the amount of gold that the Canadian company, through their studies, considers is still in the mountain, which their studies show that there's 14.4 million ounces of gold still inside this mountain.
Wow.
This could sustain this town for hundreds and hundreds of more years through this artisanal mining, the traditional practices that the miners are still using today.
Well, that was what caught my attention, is you said, oh, they've been mining this for hundreds and hundreds of years, and our mining cycle now is more of a boom and a bust.
Mm-hmm.
You would never hear about, oh, that mining operation has gone for hundreds of years. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, but it's also a very complicated story, because the way in which they mine is also very dangerous, because it is still pretty antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
They're still using dynamite. They're tunneling into this mountain. There's not great ventilation. The government is trying to force new mining regulations in terms of the way they're mining, and it's also, in a way, limiting the ability for them to continue to mine this way. The government of Colombia really is pushing large-scale mining. It's the future of mining in Colombia.
Do the local people stand to make any money from the large-scale corporate mining?
Sure. As you'll see in the film, there are... What I tried to do is really balance the story because the town, in many ways, in the beginning, was really quite divided. There were a lot of people who were against this, immediately saying, you know, I'm not going to leave my town. This is where I've lived for hundreds of years. Generations of my family have lived here and mined here. And then there's others who were mine owners or, you know, workers in the mines who see this as the future of mining in Colombia and future of their town. And they're embracing that. They're embracing this idea of quote-unquote progress for them. And then there are those who are kind of in the middle, who are working in the mines. They don't have anything to sell, but they still want some kind of opportunity that this company is promising them, which would be employment, you know, social benefits.
Right.
And so it's really a very complicated case. It's not just the victims and the people coming from the north that are there to just take everything from the locals.
How did you hear about this story? What drew you to it?
I was a photographer traveling around South America, and when I arrived in this town in Bolivia about a year into this photojournalistic trip, this town called Potosí, which is a historic silver mine in Bolivia, which basically helped to build the Spanish Empire. And I went into the mines. You could go in as a tourist, bring in coca leaves and cigarettes, and give them to the miners in exchange for photographs. And it really just struck me in a way that was... It kind of personified so many things that I was having questions about as to why was there such this stark divide in the continent, the history of colonialism, and still the echoes of that are, pervasive today in the continent. So I thought, I want to explore this theme of mining. Not only photographically is it astonishing, but also I think that it exemplifies a lot of these problems that are part of the problems that are happening in Latin America right now.
Sure. As the 21st century moves in, the traditions have to give way in some fashion.
With this idea of progress.
Right.
And what is progress? Who benefits from it? Who does not? Who suffers from this idea of progress? And what is true progress? A lot of these people use that word, sustainability, and when we're talking about natural resources, that's just... It's a contradiction.
There's a disconnect there.
Right.
You can't couple the two very readily.
So I found this town, and then I thought, I want to try to find a town where they don't have this kind of relic of colonialism, or there isn't another big corporation that has moved in and now changed that mining culture. And it took me about a year until I found Marmato. And just coincidentally, when I arrived there, around that same week, this Canadian company arrived and started buying up mines. And so I thought, wow, I've seen the end point. I would love to see what the beginning stages of what we call takeover would be.
So there's your serendipitous moment. Timing is everything sometimes in documenting a story like that.
Yeah.
Were the locals open to having you around and filming this? And same goes for the government. Were they concerned about you filming this?
The locals are really just incredible people. Really open. And within a couple of weeks, I was allowed into their homes. Just incredibly friendly people. But as the years went on and tension became higher in the town and things became more tense, I started to get a backlash. I started to get... I was being accused of being a spy for the company. I was being accused of being CIA or DEA. And also, I'm sure that the company never really explicitly expressed that to me, but they were not happy with me being there filming this.
Right. So I'm sorry, then how time from beginning to end, how long did it take you to make this film?
I was filming for 5.5 years.
5.5 years.
Yeah, and the film, right now we're a little over 6 years just finishing it.
And I asked the other directors who also had 4 years and 3 years, 5.5, even longer. I mean, during the process, are you kind of changing your idea, the arc of the story? Does it shift at all as you learn more or understand more of the story? Or do you have a beginning, middle, and end? At the beginning, you stick with it.
Well, when I started, I thought I had a beginning, middle, and end. And that's because when I first got there, I still had I was still driven to find the complexity in the story, and that was to talk to all sides of the people there. Who was on which side, and how can I build something that's more complex than what usually is shown? And so I went straight to the company that was there, and they told me within 2 years, we're going to have this town moved, and we're going to start... Construction will already begin on the big mine. So I thought, great, in 2 years I'll start filming, I'll find all the stories I need, and there will be this, quote-unquote, end, which it would be the moving of the town and that dramatic moment. And 5.5 years later, it still didn't happen. And part of the reason was that the town started to awaken, and really those who were for the company in the beginning... Where there was a divide in the town, maybe by 50-50, and then it started to shift towards 90-10. And the town really started to push back, and that was because the company was making all of these promises of employment, of development. We're going to build schools, we're going to build hospitals, we're going to start doing all these things, and they never followed through. So you could see that the town was awakening to this and realizing they're not going to do what they say they're going to do.
Right.
So is this your first Sundance film?
It is.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Is it your first documentary? What's your filmmaking history?
I made a short documentary in Colombia while I was filming Marmato. You know, during 5.5 years, you have a little bit of time on your hands.
Yeah.
So I went and shot another thing that was related to mining as well.
Right.
And that was really kind of an exercise. So this is really my first film. This is my first feature, and I consider it to be my first real film.
Fantastic. It's quite a way to join Sundance.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, well, is this Sundance worthy? You ask yourself that, or do you just say, let's just submit it? I mean, thousands of other people are submitting films. Why not me?
Well, of course, we were still editing right up to the last day of the submission. And I have some friends who work in Sundance, which I met through the labs. And they were saying, look, you have to really think hard. Is this something, is it ready for this? And we were second-guessing ourselves constantly.
Really?
And then in the last week, that last week and a half, we just said, look, we have to do it. Let's just finish what we have now and submit it.
Tell us about the team working with you.
Well, it was we went through a series of editors before we really found the one that was perfect for the film. And, you know, during the course of a long production like this, I think this is kind of par for the course. You find people that you think are really going to work, and then you kind of exhaust what they can do for you, and then you find someone else that is just you really click with. And I had been working basically alone with one other producer, and then we found an editor named Ricardo Acosta, and I met him in New York. I flew back, he saw some of the material, and right after that conversation I knew for sure that he was the one that could handle the complexity of this story and really balance out the opinions and the perspectives of everyone there. And with him, we started editing, I think, last February, really just starting the screen material with him. And by August, we had a rough cut.
How many hours of raw footage?
Close to 300.
300 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always amazed that you go, okay, I got 300. I got to get this down to 87 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be a real struggle to obviously probably leave some footage on the floor.
Of course. You know, it's killing your babies. You have
is
to,
that,
there are these scenes that you just absolutely
this
love.
This has to be in. And
you think
eventually
it's definitely going to get in the film. And, you know, while I'm working during those 5.5 years, I'm also trimming things and I'm making mm-hmm. selects and I'm thinking about what really is going to make it. And then there's other things that I'm questioning, but and then during the editing process, a lot of the things that you thought would never make it actually make their way back into the film. For some reason, it just, by way of part of this process, it naturally incorporates itself back into the film.
Plans to show this film in Marmato?
Absolutely, yeah.
They have a theater there? And
they have a small film festival.
They do?
Which is curated by a Colombian filmmaker, and he has family that is from Marmato. So they bring in a little screen and screen in the town. So we're trying to think of when is the best time. We're trying to build some buzz here, and then we'll go back to the town and show it.
Fantastic. Where can people read more about this film? Do you have a website? Or?
Yeah, the website, I think, is going to launch in the next 2 days. And we've just been written up in the LA Times, a couple different reviews, and we'll have more information online on our website in a matter of a couple days.
When does it premiere?
On Friday. Friday night at 9 p.m. at the temple.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Super. Yeah. It's a fascinating story, and I hope it gets picked up and so that more people can see it.
I hope so, too.
On a wider range. Yes, exactly. Any other plans for another film? Second film?
Of course. I'm working on a narrative, a road trip movie in Colombia, and another documentary as well.
All right.
We'll keep our eyes peeled.
Great.
Mark Grieco, he's the director of the documentary Marmato, which premieres tomorrow night. Thanks again for joining us, and lots of luck.
Thanks so much.
All right. Let's take another quick break for a couple underwriters. You're listening to the Sundance special of This Green Earth here at Whole Foods down at Kimball Junction. When we come back, we'll be talking to KPCW's Rick Ruff about his experiences with the Sundance Film Festival through the years. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Park City Restore is grateful for the many hands that have made it successful. Your gift of time means more affordable housing services are available locally through Habitat for Humanity. Plus, volunteering at the ReStore gives you a first look at the amazing treasures donated for resale. Learn how you can get involved at habitat-utah.org. Click on the big yellow volunteer button. Habitat for Humanity of Summit and Wasatch Counties is a nonprofit organization.
This is Alex Knapp from the law offices of Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough, a longtime supporter of KPCW. Jones, Waldo has been serving clients in Summit County since 1875. We can be reached at 435-647-5975 or on the web at joneswaldo.com.
Hi, this is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local source for recycling and garbage services and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. Recycling in Summit County is improving. The trick to remember? Recyclable materials go in your larger blue or brown bin, and gray is for garbage. Recycling helps keep Summit County clean. SummitCountyRecycles.org.